Blog Talk Radio.
Cindy Sansone Braff, author of Grant Me a Higher Love, How to Go from the Relationship from Hell to One That's Heaven Sent by Scaling the Ladder of Love. That's a big title. It's a big book. Love's a big topic. The music you heard at the beginning of the show is called Eagerly Please, Composed with Love by my nephew Miles Sebastian. I'm a woman on a mission, and that mission is to have you and everyone else have the best love life possible in this new millennium. But before this can happen, you're going to have to learn a few new tricks. Joining me tonight, as always, is my co-host and producer, Nicole. Nicole's a beautiful young woman, a writer, an entrepreneur, and a lesbian, not necessarily in that order, and she's here to share her love stories and war stories with us. She's the voice that will make all of us women stop blaming everything on the opposite sex, since she knows women are making some of the same kinds of mistakes in the relationship with each other. Today has been a really exciting day. We have a great show about soulmates. I was very blessed to be filming the American Dream show that's filmed at Gurney's Inn. And anybody who's been there in Montauk, it was so beautiful. I got to stay last night, and they had a special benefit for breast cancer. So it was really a girls' night out. That was really fun. And I got to stay in a beautiful room on the ocean, film the show today. She had a lot. She filmed like six shows in a row. So Aida Turturro from The Sopranos, fame Janice, the character Janice, she filmed afterwards. You know, she filmed afterwards. She was just a doll. And, you know, Dennis Lynch, who was a producer of a film, The King of the Hamptons, he did it also. So it's just a really fun day. And then I got to watch my soulmate TJ film a show at LTV Studios about the election coming up. So we've had quite the day. And now our radio show is going to be super fantastic because I've been asking Richard Sheinberg for a year to join this show. And finally we could coordinate it. He has a book called Seeking Soulmates, Spirit Guides, and Past Lives. How exciting is that? And Richard's not your everyday, you know, out there woo-woo kind of person. He really is very grounded. He has 28 years of professional experience, and he's a psychotherapist. He's currently the director of Sunrise Counseling Center, located in Bayshore, New York, which is a mental health agency that he opened in 1993. He keeps evolving spiritually, and he's devoting a lot of his energy toward this spiritual work. He's been married a long time, and, well, I'm going to let Richard, you know, come on the air and tell us a little bit about him, but we're really blessed to have Richard. Now, Nicole, I don't know if you have Richard on the line yet.
I didn't even get into the chat room yet. Just take a look on your side, Sin. What line is it?
I think it would be the number 8.
Number 8? All right. Well, seven. Number 8. Hello, is this Richard Sheinberg?
Yes. Can you hear me?
Yes. Richard,
yes,
I didn't recognize
can.
Your number because you always call me from your cell phone. So I was like, from all my years of being an entertainer and traveling around, I know the area codes, you know, the 277, the little whatever it is on the phone number, and I was like, I think that's Richard Bayshore.
This is me, yep.
So,
nice
Richard,
I told them a little bit
about you, and, you know, of course I've read your book, and it's so brilliant, and
I would
wonder if you would just be so kind to tell us a little bit about yourself and, you know, how you've come to be this, like, on the spiritual quest to understand the true nature of love. And so tell us a bit about your professional background, because I think that's a really strong card here for you, you know.
Okay, well, you know, my professional background really grew out of my personal background. I mean, we were all born with certain issues that start to come to fruition as we grow. And, you know, in my particular case, I was someone who grew up in a colorful family. Sometimes I like to say.
is that a euphemism for dysfunctional?
Yeah. Colorful, dysfunctional. Same thing.
Okay, I'm going to coin that from now on too. I have a colorful family. Okay.
So I grew up not unlike other people, particularly in the 50s, where I had a mom and dad who were trying to do the right thing, that apparently did love me, even though they didn't use that language when I grew up. You know, they had kind of gotten involved with each other accidentally. Actually, the accident was me, you know.
Were they already married, or, you know, when you came along? Or
No, actually, I was the reason they got married.
Okay, you're the oldest of your siblings?
I'm actually the oldest of the second set of siblings. My mother was married previously. Her first husband died. She was left widowed with two children. And then she got involved with my father, got pregnant with me. And so, doing the right thing, my father married my mother, and there was me, and then two more. I have two younger brothers.
Wow.
So, again, it's not unlike other people's relationships.
No, of course
these
not.
These days, you know, everyone is not doesn't have a planned life. You know, that's not realistic. But so, I grew up, just kind of wondering, particularly since, when I grew up, my family didn't talk much about feelings. They didn't talk much about loving feelings. My father was often frustrated. He would work 7 days a week. He tried very hard to provide for us, and he was, again, he loved us in his own way. My mother always felt stuck, always felt kind of victimized in her situation, and she was depressed off and on, and I didn't quite understand exactly what love was. It was very confusing for me. And I spent a lot of time in my younger years just kind of observing and trying to figure this out and trying to make peace for myself. You know, I was very much caught up in the hippie ideas of the 60s and, you know, that we should just kind of figure out how to keep the peace and make love. And, it was a great idea. I wasn't quite sure how you come from, a background like mine to a place where you can be free and loving. It just didn't quite make sense. But I tried to figure it out, and that really led me to my profession. So my profession, I found myself gravitating towards psychology in college. And,
well, Richard, I have
a
theory for people like you and I who have grown up in such dysfunction. I realized by the time I was like 16 and was exposed to psychology that I had such a life that I was going to bypass neurotic and go right to psychotic. There was, no in-between here.
Right, right.
So, I figured, I can't not be your everyday garden neurotic. I'm really going to be out there, out of my mind.
Mm-hmm.
So I began to be intrigued by psychology because it seemed to answer a lot of stuff. Did you feel that way?
I realized all the craziness that I couldn't put, a finger on. Actually, there was actually names for those things. Introduction to psychology. Wow, I can relate to this and to this, and all the defense mechanisms, it's like, oh, wow, this is what people
didn't
are doing.
Didn't you feel it was kind of like simple to understand? I felt it was like so simple to understand because I had a family member for every disorder.
Oh, yeah, sure. Of course. I loved it. I mean, it started to help me make sense of what the heck I was, keeping to myself all these years. So I found myself loving it, and I found myself even though actually math was my best subject, I never thought that I'd get caught up in psychology, but that was my destiny. So it led me to do psychology.
So can you tell us a little bit about your degrees, because you do have quite an array of letters after your name. So I see LCSW, BCD. Can you tell us what some of those are?
Sure. I graduated with a bachelor's degree in psychology and sociology, and then for graduate school, you have a choice of going for psychology, clinical social work. There's many related fields related to counseling. So I decided to go for clinical social work, and so I am a licensed clinical social worker. And then after you have a certain amount of experience and expertise, I'm also a board-certified diplomate of clinical social work. And I've been a adjunct professor and done consultations for business and done workshops. I'm actually, it's going to be about 30 years now that I'm in practice. And, I've really explored everything. I got so excited by learning about all this stuff that I still, look for everything under the sun, and that's really what led me into the spiritual realm of things, because you know, when you psychology, I mean, I know really every school of thought, every type of psychology. We've studied everything over the years. But eventually you start asking really the really big questions, not just about what it is about your life and that makes sense, or everyone's life that makes sense, but, you know, what is the reason for all this anyway? You know, why do we have to deal with all this crap anyway? Because everyone, you know, always wonders, you know, and they say out loud, you know, I think, you know, God has a sense of humor.
Exactly.
You know, like what is this now? You know, I thought I was just over the hump, and now there's the next thing, you know, okay, now, like, what is it, you know? And it seems like this great mystery, but actually, you know, the more you look into it, it makes perfect sense as well. You know,
exactly.
I started to realize that there's a reason why we come into certain hardships, certain challenges, and, you know, I've certainly had my share. And so, but I've realized looking back that I wouldn't change, you know, anything of it. You know, I mean, there's certain terrible things that I've gone through, but I wouldn't change any of it because I realized what great wisdom I've gained from it and what great peace of mind in the big picture. You know, I no longer have any fear of death. I have no longer any fear of much of anything, and I just really keep moving forward because I've come to realize from my experience that, you know, that fear and negativity really just hold you back, and really you can get your passion and your spirit, you can really keep the excitement going in life when you keep moving forward. You keep meeting new people, taking chances, trying new things. And so I get involved in everything. You know, I get involved in, that's how I get involved in healing arts. You know, I'm also a certified Reiki practitioner.
Wow.
You know, a certified reconnective healing practitioner because I was always interested about energy and how that affects the development of diseases. And, you know, to make a long story short, you know, I've spent time with psychics as well, training with James Rampra, with Doreen Virtue. And, you know, my last great, you know, workshop, my last great experience really was spending, you know, a full training experience with Brian Weiss.
Wow.
And learning about past life regression. I mean, it's the kind of experience that I was originally very skeptic. You know, I'm kind of trained as a scientifically oriented guy, and my day-to-day life is in doing, you know, a lot of psychotherapy. And the idea actually of taking that leap of faith to believe that you can, you know, not only that there is such a thing as a past life, but that you can actually recover memories of it is pretty fantastic. So, you know, so I said, I took that leap of faith because I have to know. I have to know, you know, if there's anything to this. And when I went for the training, by Tuesday I had my personal experience of recovering past life memory, and it blew me away.
Wow.
You know, it's like there's no more trying to convince me in terms of whether it makes sense. I had the experience, and then, you know, I'm a believer now, and I was so excited about this whole experience. I said, you know, I got to share this with the people I'm working with, you know, and then I have been doing this work, you know, I've added this to my repertoire ever since, and I've, you know, dealt with hundreds of people in their past lives as well. So I'm just really excited about life. I'm really excited about sharing this information. And, you know, and that's what keeps me pushing forward. That's what keeps me
growing and learning.
Growing, learning. That's why, you know, my practice grew into a clinic. This is why I need to write books. This is why I need to be, you know, talk to you, because I just love it. I just love my life right now. I love everything about it, and I love sharing this with people. I love trying to bring forward what has been given to me.
Okay, and what I noticed from what you're talking about is the first step is sort of giving up the victim. You know, when we're younger, sometimes we think, you know, how could I be born into this dysfunction? Oh, my God, what's the story here? And what I find very comforting to people is for me to say, you know, Richard and I are examples of two people born into dysfunction, not because we were mean son of a bitches in our last lifetime and we deserve this, but we really took this on because somebody's got to end family dysfunction. And usually what we have to do is experience it, judge it, duplicate some of the dysfunction, and then make great efforts to heal. And what I found that I had to do was start with the psychology, start with an understanding of, you know, transactional analysis, a lot of different kinds of psychology. Every time I had needed an answer, you know, a book was given to me. And then finally, the later stages were the spirituality and you get into that study of it. But you do have to give up that victim and stop blaming mommy and daddy if you want to start loving your life. You have to, you know, let that go.
Yeah, no, that just keeps you stuck. I mean, if you're no longer 12 years old, then there's really no reason to blame mommy and daddy.
Exactly.
I run into people
all
the time that will tell me about their story and how, you know, this is the reason why they're stuck with what they're stuck with, and I'll tell them, you know, you're not about your story, you're about who you are right now. And, you know, we all have our stories, but so what? I mean, you can find other people with worse stories than yours, and it didn't hold them back, you know, so...
Exactly, and we have to stop, and we have to move forward, and it is today, and just let go of that baggage. Now, I want to ask you a question about soulmate, and we do have a lot of callers, Richard. So I think if we start defining a little bit of what soulmate is, and then I'm not sure if Nicole's been in the chat room screening any calls yet, but...
No, I actually, because I wasn't sure what format the two of you wanted to follow this evening, so I didn't want to screen too many callers.
Okay, because we're going to be talking about...
clearing things up first.
Right now, we're going to start talking about soulmates, and I want to know what, you know, Richard's feelings are of soulmates, and does he have a soulmate? Because I think our listeners will find this brilliant because...
Well, that's actually good because one of the first callers that I screened is a woman named Lanice from Memphis, and she'd like to know the difference between soulmates and twin flames. Perhaps the two of you can touch upon that for Lanice out in Memphis.
Sure, let me get some basic information out there.
Okay, do you want to put her on the phone so we can hear her voice for a minute so she can know we're going to be answering her?
Sure.
Absolutely. Hello, Lanice, you're on the air.
Hello, how are you all tonight?
Great, and what a great question. You know, we want to hear your voice ask it because I want to hear the energy coming out of you.
Yeah.
Okay, how can I help you?
Just wanted you to touch on the soulmate and twin flame and the difference. And I kind of think I'm wanting to contact my twin flame now as opposed to soulmate.
All right. Well, Richard, I'll let you take on the first half and whatever you know about twin flames, and then I'll tell you what I know. So, Richard.
Okay, sure. A soulmate, basically the definition of a soulmate is someone you have known prior to your birth on a spiritual level. And for the most part, that's probably a good block of time and experience, which generally amounts to at least one past life experience. It could be actually several past life experiences. And soulmates can take many different forms. I'll just go over this briefly. I mean, one of the more popular forms is the idea of a romantic soulmate. And, you know, this is a kind of a narrow, simplistic version that is loved in the movies. And it's also, you know, something very special that if you can find that one romantic partner, you know, that's very good way to feel very good from the start. You can often feel that you have love at first sight. When you start to talk to that person, you feel like you've known them, you know, many, many years before, even though you may only know them for an hour or two. So there's an instant recognition on a soul level, and that's basically what a soulmate is. Later on, maybe we can go into the other types of soulmates, because soulmates also may challenge you in many ways because you need to learn certain lessons and have certain experiences in life. But to answer your specific question, the difference between a soulmate and a twin flame is this. A soulmate basically is two separate spiritual entities that are familiar with each other, that have known each other before. A twin flame, the idea of a twin flame is that you're not two separate spiritual entities. You actually are the expression of one spiritual entity that's decided to split in their incarnation on the earth plane. So that if you were a single entity and you chose to be born in the same lifetime, if you chose to have different aspects of yourself be born and incarnate in the same physical realm, you could actually split, and different aspects of yourself will coexist on the earth plane. Now, sometimes that person may be of the same sex, but different aspects of the same sex, and this person may turn out to be a best friend, someone who's very close, who really understands you inside and out with very little effort because they really are part of you on a spiritual level. Other times, the twin flames are male and female versions of the same spirit. Because a spirit is actually a whole of both male and female. And so the physical body that the spirit is projected into, that the soul is housed inside of, can have a female expression or a masculine expression from the same soul. And so if you decide to split along those lines, then your twin flame could be a person of the opposite sex who, again, can understand yourself inside and out very easily because they actually are part of you on a spiritual level. Is that clear?
Okay,
yeah.
And Richard, what was channeled to me is a little bit different than the information you gave, but it's pretty close.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
I would say what you were describing were mirror souls. We have, like what was challenged to me, we have 11 other mirror souls. That's part of the group soul that's very closely, like it would almost be like if you visualize our group soul as our extended family,
mm-hmm.
our tinier mirror souls would be our immediate family.
Okay.
And that we have 11 of them. And six are, there are actually 12 in this whole group together. We're one of them, but there are six male and six female. And if you meet any of those souls, you're going to have immediate, like, love for them, such unconditional love. You can't get mad at them because you're just so closely related. It's probably one of the few soulmates we're going to love unconditionally without effort. But those male, female of the 12, each one of them represent a twin soul, the twin flame.
Okay,
and
so
that
along
we,
those lines, maybe you can share with me your information. Of those 12 entities,
mm-hmm.
Do they choose to be born at the same time? Incarnate at the same time?
You can, but what was channeled to me is that twin souls,
mm-hmm.
it is the male-female.
Okay.
It has to be a male-female, because when we're in, you would choose to be in one of your last incarnations on Earth to meet a twin soul, because if you were to meet any of your mirror souls, you don't have to heal all of your issues to love unconditionally in order to be with them. It just brings
okay.
it out. But with a twin soul, there's much more karmic reckoning that needs to be done because we have to blend, the female would be evolving to be into her goddess energy, and the male would be trying to get to his god energy. So when they meet, they would actually become much more feminine and much more masculine in themselves. But they already have the male-female blended in themselves to begin with. They're pretty balanced people.
Mm-hmm.
And it's usually brought together a twin soul because there's some great humanitarian effort to be done, like Beethoven and his immortal beloved never seemed to be able to work out with her. But he still created his art in spite of it. At this stage of human consciousness, since, our very astute listener had asked about it, that she's ready to meet her twin flame, this is one of the things where I say, be careful what you wish for. Sometimes the gods may punish us. At this stage of human consciousness, most of us, are not that healed. And most soulmates, if you're going to keep a relationship soulmate, it demands commitment and healing. Otherwise, it starts being dragged down to something other than soulmate, something karmic mate or cellmate. You would have to heal, for most soulmate relationships, at least 60% of your issues if you're going to be reasonably healed. Twin soul says heal 100% of your issues. That's an awesome amount of healing in one lifetime. And so sometimes God will bring them now, probably... It's probably less than 1% of the population right now on the earth has a twin soul. And out of that 1%, it's probably a small percentage that are actually managing to live in harmony together and stay together, because it's so hard to heal all those issues. And one twin soul may flee, maybe all the healing can take place. But it is brought for humanitarian purposes, for two people to help evolve humanity. So it's something, think about how much healing you want to be doing. Manisha, how much healing do you want to be doing in this lifetime?
A lot.
Okay, because if you're willing, the problem is that you may be willing, but the other twin may be, because you meet in one of your last incarnations, sometimes the twins may have major obstacles to overcome. Could be an age difference, a race difference, something really major, hard to overcome in certain things that are harder to heal. And the twin may not be able to do it. But because they are also, twin souls are also mirror souls to each other, the unconditional love is there. And sometimes one of the twins may leave because they just don't want to hurt the other. If they just can't bear it. And leaving seems like the easier solution.
And Cindy, can I add to that thought as well?
Excuse me?
Can I add to your comments?
Sure, absolutely.
Sure. I mean, what since I work with people day-to-day and they're trying to translate this into day-to-day experiences with someone in a relationship, I think the basic translation comes down to whether they can trust that other person, what constitutes trust, will they be betrayed? And I think the healing has to do with, you know, being able to reconcile this within yourself first.
Exactly.
And so the issues that come up when I do work with people, you know, start with the basics. And it goes for twin flames as well as any other type of relationship for that matter, that a lot of the basic issues that we all need to work out in order to be healthy and heal as a spiritual entity are issues like trust or betrayal. Because these are ongoing themes with each of us. The issues of love and whether it's conditional or unconditional. I mean, many, many loving relationships assume that there is some conditions placed on them. You know, it's like, I'll be happy with you if you act a certain way. We oftentimes accept those conditions too readily. When real love is pure and real love is unconditional, real love is the kind of love that the other party gives to you, you know, whether you behave the way they like you to or not.
You know, exactly.
And the other things that come up, again, just to kind of make this more concrete, that would be issues of jealousy, issues of possessiveness. Okay, these are the building blocks of what makes a relationship healthy or unhealthy. Self-esteem issues, you know, whether you... You know, you feel that there's a balance and whether you're worthy of love. Another issue that comes up, I'm just going to run through this fast because I know this is so much we want to cover. Another one is, you know, do you have to, learning the difference between compromising in a relationship and sacrificing in a relationship. That's always confusing because people very often, in the name of compromising, really sacrifice something very important of themselves. You know, that they sometimes feel like they're giving up a part of their identity or a part of their gift in order to please their partner, or they're being overshadowed or controlled by their partner. So these are all issues that come up for every one of us in every relationship that's important to us. And these are things that need to be worked out in order to have a healthy relationship and a relationship where you're healed and you're ready and open to have a relationship with a person, whether the person is your soulmate, your twin flame, or just someone you've met for the first time in this lifetime.
Exactly. And those are very, very good points. And if you want to know more about soulmates, I would advise you to get a hold of Richard's book. It's Richard Scheinberg. It's Seeking Soulmates, Spirit Guides, and Past Lives. And if you're interested in twin souls, I do have a whole step in my book called Knowing the Truth About Twin Souls. And my book is Grant Me a Higher Love. And what I was amazed when I read Richard's book, and we're both part of Long Island Authors Group, by the way. That's how we know each other. We both immediately had a friendly soulmate connection. I think Richard could agree that with that. We immediately were very magnetized to each other.
There's an instant affinity. I mean, you can, again, we're, if you're open, you can just look into somebody's eyes and you can see they're on the same page. You know,
exactly.
Same
and we were
then,
on the same
right.
page. And when we gifted each other with a book, which was, so, and Richard has two books, and when I was reading his Seeking Soulmate books, some of his sentences are almost word for word mine, and we were both writing these books at the same time, and some of the things he says are so closely, you know, what was given to me, the pieces of information, that it was almost frightening. I was like, boy, you know, the universe picks many people, and, it, you know, they're hoping one of us will get this right. If more than us get it, it's even better.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, that's a really important concept, that when you meet soulmates, they can be friends, they can be professional people, but you know, the more your heart's open, the more it takes you about a minute to recognize them, to feel safe, you know, to immediately want to connect and be stronger because of it. And, you know, in that kind of thing, it overcomes some professional envy or jealousy. Do you agree with that, Richard? That
sure. I mean, I don't see myself as some elitist or somebody who, I mean, I'm just like everybody else. I mean, that's, when I sit down with someone, you know, I relate to everyone that I meet, you know, and because there's a part of me that has had the experience, fortunately or unfortunately, depending on how you're looking at it, you know, of everyone I meet. So, you know, so I don't, you know, I mean, there is no, you know, I feel just like everyone does, and I want to share as much as I know. And again, the idea of being a professional, you know, just that term tends to distance yourself a little bit. But, I mean, I have a knowledge and experience that I want to share. That's the way I like to portray myself.
Well, and that's wonderful. Now, I thank you so much for calling. That was a really great question, by the way. And
thank you very much.
I hope she finds her twin soul, if that's what she wants, and or her very, very high soulmate. Now, I'm not sure if Nicole has got screened any other callers, because we do have a lot of callers. I want to make sure. And Richard, by the way, please tell our audience that, about your soulmate.
Okay. I mean, I was somebody who, you know, again, grew up very confused and not knowing what love is. And I was actually very fearful of love because I, you know, in my family, being open meant, you know, that you could get hurt, you know, and so I was always very aloof. I was kind of always outside the family a little bit. I always kind of sat back and watched and really was a, kind of a loner of sorts. And, you know, I actually met my wife when I was 17 and she was 14 years old. And I couldn't take her seriously at that age because at that age it was a big difference. But I couldn't help, you know, when we first met to see that there was a very strong connection. And, you know, and in a very short amount of time, we started to feel very close. And I see, you know, looking back, that I really needed her in my life, particularly at that time, to know that love does exist. And you know, and I had so many defenses myself to allowing myself to be open. She was able to break through that, and you know, had she not been in my life at that time, I would be a completely different person.
And
so,
also,
I mean,
Richard, she was brought young enough. What I find is people do know how to love better when they're 14.
Oh yeah.
Before
yeah.
all the crazies come in, you know, if you've been hurt, you know, if you have four bad relationships by the time you're 18, you forget how to love. So it was probably part of your soul contract that you would be brought into this great dysfunction, but God would give you a soulmate when you were
right.
young
to help
to
me
help
at a time I would need it most. Because I mean, I could see I would be a person who, you know, would be single for a long time had I not allowed myself to open up to someone who seemed very not. I mean, of course she was younger. I think she was very non-threatening, and allowed me to be open and not defensive. And you know, it really caused a breakthrough in my life at a very early age. And then I had to stop and think about, well, gee, you know, if this is what love is, you know, what do I do with everything else? You know, and it really challenged me. It really challenged me because I was very confused.
That, you know, you've learned love is pain. Hey, this is joy, peace. This is wonderful.
Yeah. And again, it's not, I mean, one of the things that's important to know is that even if you meet someone who is your soulmate, you know, it doesn't mean that everything goes smoothly from then on in and you can coast the rest of your life. I mean, even with a soulmate, you're going to have differences. It's important that you have differences. And it's important that you learn how to communicate, how you learn how to have a healthy love. You learn how to not hold grudges. You learn how to have forgiveness in your heart. I mean, you learn that with a soulmate. If you don't learn that with a soulmate, then you just miss the opportunity. And soulmates can break up as well. Soulmates, you know, if you're not learning, if you're stuck, if you're defensive, if you're full of fear, and you pull back instead of, you know, keep working on seeing what the lessons are here, then even in a soulmate relationship, you know, that can go sour as well. So I don't want people to think that, you know, our listeners here, that if you find that soulmate, then that's the answer to your life. That's not it. I mean, because you can make it work for you, and it's wonderful when it works, as it, you know, as it has for me. I've been married, you know, 33 years. Or
let's get some applause out here in the audience here.
Or, I mean, but also even if you're not married to what would be considered a soulmate, I mean, any relationship can be one, you know, as you often say, Cindy, any relationship can be one that you can help to resonate with your higher vibration so that it is akin to soulmate love, because, you know, soulmate basically means that you've gone through the trenches with somebody in previous lifetimes. But this could be the beginning of a soulmate relationship for this time and all future lifetimes. So,
right, instead
so
of
if you happen to be with someone,
even
if you're with someone that is not already a soulmate, you can begin a new relationship, and that is what your spirit wants. Your spirit wants to learn from all spiritual beings. It's not just, you know, a select few, but we're meant to be here to have all kinds of experiences. That's why we reincarnate life after lifetime. And, you know, and then you share your history from then on in. So, you know, there's so much to learn, and it's always exciting as long as you stay open.
Exactly. Now, Nicole, did you screen a call, honey?
Yes, I have. All right, and we are actually going to move to South Carolina. We're going to speak to David. And basically, he'd just like to an overhaul on love. And he'd like to know, how can he be in a loving soulmate relationship effectively? And that is his word, not mine.
Good question. And we were going to talk about that.
I just like the use of the word effectively.
I know. That's a very
good word.
Because
everybody asks about love, and they all want to know when love is going to come and when love is going to present itself. And, you know, I want to be in love, I want to be in love. But nobody really takes care to notice about the aftercare of once you get that love, what to do with it.
So let's have David come on
and
hear his energy, because I know that both Richard and I like to hear people's energy. So let's get David on.
We're going to go to David in South Carolina. Hello, David. You're on the air.
Hello.
Hi, David.
Hi, how are you?
Hi, David.
Great, and such a good question. So you're interested, do you have a soulmate right now? Are you interested in knowing how you can, you sort of ready yourself for one?
Yes, as of now, I don't have one.
Okay, so let's start with, you know, I know Richard's really good with this. So, Richard, is there some things that David can do to ready himself for his soulmate?
Well, are you saying that you don't have one yet, or you have a prospective person who you want to see things that work, see things work out for you?
I don't have a prospective person. I mean, it's, you know, there's a lot of women everywhere.
Okay. Well, you know, one thing that I think might be helpful for you, because, you know, once that person comes into your life, you know, a lot of times it's like, okay, now what do I do? Because, you know, it's easy to go off track, you know, and even though you may feel loving feelings toward each other, something gets derailed. And so a lot of times, you know, in my psychotherapy life, I will often sit down with a couple who I can tell love each other, but they've just kind of been derailed. And so what I do is I try to simplify some basic rules of thumb to keep the relationship on track. And this is something actually you can get for yourself and keep. It's offered for free on my SeekingSoul.com website. If you go
okay,
to,
can you say that again slowly?
Sure, it's Seeking Soul,
S-E-E-K-I-N-G,
right, SOUL.com. If you go to my website, on the lower left-hand side, if you just give your email address, and I will share with you, it'll take you to a page where there's actually the top 10 couple communication skills. And these are good, handy kinds of ideas to keep your relationship on track, because, you know, there are basic things that throw people off all the time, and they just get into a rut. I mean, basic things like if you're having a discussion about something or an argument about something, try to stay in the here and now. You know, try not to. People have this.
Bring up 40 years ago.
Oh, gee. You know, I mean, they bring up stuff from 20 years ago. I mean, you know, and it just gets rehashed and rehashed. And they'll have the same argument, you know, using the same words for years. And, you know, I mean, they can actually
running
just
the old
kind of,
tape.
Yeah, they could just make a tape and just replay it. It doesn't matter. I mean, it's such a waste of time and energy. And they know it. I mean, people get caught up in this pattern, these negative patterns, where they may have the same argument over and over again about the same issue and never get past it. So one of the simple rules is that if you're going to have you try to communicate about something, try to just stay in the here and now. Don't rehash the past because it just keeps you stuck there. And don't project into the future. Like, you know, oh, I'm not going to do this because you will just do so-and-so. You know, if you just stay in the here and now, chances it makes it much more simple to get through a problem so that you reach some resolution. I mean, other things are, you know, not to shut down, not to shut down and walk away. I mean, sometimes you need some time to breathe, but sometimes when people have a difference of opinion, they'll shut down, and then it becomes a control issue. Like, who is going to be the first to give in and talk? You know, this is a contest, you know, so that's really not a hallmark of a healthy relationship. You know,
no, it isn't.
If anything, I can understand you needing to maybe take a break, take a walk, but you need, you know, hopefully before you go to sleep that night, you know, return to the discussion and actually be the first one that tries to engage the other. You know, don't try to hold a grudge, spite the other person. It's not weak to be the first one to break the silence. It's courageous. So, you know, that's another one of those rules to go by.
Richard, I always say
yeah.
a little sound bite. Say, learn to say what you mean what you say without being mean about it.
Mm-hmm.
Because, you know, part of it is we have not learned how to communicate. We've heard our parents screaming. We hear people screaming. People stuff everything down until it becomes, you know, finally they can't take it and they scream rather than speaking all along and communicating and saying your needs. And it's very important to communicate what's wrong. People are not mind readers. They don't know what you're thinking.
Right, and my what I always tell people is if you just follow those 10, you know, those top 10 communication skills, I guarantee 90% of your arguments will just go away.
Wow.
Okay?
Now,
how good it is.
I think David also, you know, he wants to know how he can bring a soulmate to him now, and I would tell you to write down what your ideal soulmate would be like. Do it, you know, in positive things. You want her to be loyal. You want her to be your best friend. Remember, for soulmate romantic love, I always say you have to love with your heart, your soul, your mind, and your body, so you have to wish for that. And then begin to say a little prayer that really is very effective. And I know Nicole was saying it, and she's doing pretty good at bringing her life around, so it's a little prayer that basically is, you know, you want to pray for a soulmate who's ready, willing, and able to love and commit to you. And you want to be a soulmate who's ready, willing, and able to love and commit back. Because soulmate love without commitment is an awful lot of pain. It's, you know, people running, people not overcoming their fear. So that prayer
is... Well, there's also a very, very important part of that, though, Cindy, that actually I'm going to make a separate step from that, even though it's, like, included in making sure that you're ready, willing, and able. And the only reason why I'm saying this is because a lot of the times when people have to face their issues, it's kind of like you put one hand over, you're putting your hands over your eyes, and you're kind of like looking through your fingers. When you're looking that way at yourself, there's always something that you're going to miss, you know, because I know for a fact that I was ready, I was willing, I was able, you know, to bring about soulmate love to myself for a very, very long time now. But soulmate love was not coming to me, and that was because of all the things I was ready and willing and able to do, the one thing that I didn't do in my life was remove blockages.
The fear.
So you need to constructively look at your life, and you need to see where that negativity and where, you know, those blockages can be. And once you free yourself from those blockages, then everything that you're ready, willing, and able to give is going to come. But as long as you're maintaining those blockages, it's not going to.
I think I want to answer that as well in terms of blockages and fear. Oftentimes, we don't recognize what the fear is, and I think one way you can spot what your fears are.
Hello?
We're here.
Oh, I'm sorry. I couldn't hear you.
Yeah, we're here. Richard,
I didn't mean to cut you off. I was going to say, I think my problem is I think I do it too easy. Like, I do that to everybody. Like, I give everybody the same. Like, I love everybody equally. If that makes any sense,
but do you want one particular woman or do you want a harem? I'm not sure what you're.
Oh no. It's like I can't love somebody more than somebody else. If that makes any sense, it's kind of like I'm an empath, sort of.
Oh, so you feel that great love. But do you want that, you know, more of a one-on-one kind of relationship at this point?
Yeah, it's kind of hard for me to, you know, tune into one particular person, because, like, I try to love everybody the same, but it's really hard because, I don't know, I get, like you could say I was born gifted, like, my emotions are way, like, 10 times stronger than anybody else's, like, which I know. And it's like when I get in a relationship, it's just like, how would I put it? It's just draining, like,
Well, because maybe you're not drawing healthy boundaries. Maybe it's just too overwhelming, too much for you. But again, trying to, you know, figure out, it sounds almost like you're a bit of a commitment phobic, because you do get involved, but you get, like, sort of overly involved, and then does it scare people away?
Yeah.
Okay, because
I don't know how to.
Okay, so what I would suggest is that a relationship is a two-way street, and because you are intuitive and you can be empathic, you don't necessarily have to, you know, go with it, you know, that first hour or that first day. I mean, you know, we are this way as well. I mean, Cindy and I mean, this is why we're in this field, but, you know, you can't hit everybody over the head with everything you perceive about them. You know, you really have to give it time to blossom. So even though you may have a very good read on somebody, you know, the sense of a relationship is a sense of a healthy balance as well. So while you're reading what you know about them, you also have to read their own comfort level and read what they're ready and comfortable with sharing with you at any given time. So there's a give and take, there's a balance in every relationship, and maybe that's one of the lessons that you need to learn in this lifetime.
Oh, that was very good, Richard.
I like that. I needed to hear.
You know, that's, and David, you're definitely going to have that soulmate because you really are, you know, wanting that. But how old are you, if you don't mind me asking?
Oh, I'm only 23.
Okay, that's what I was going to say. You're gifted with being an empath, and yet you don't have some of the maturity that comes with being able to regulate it and know how to use it. I mean, I didn't get my spiritual power until I was already about 41, so I think I was much more mature at that point and able to control it, although I've always been an empath like you. I tended to feel the negativity. As a children's entertainer, I'd walk into a room and know the family hated each other, and I feel 100 people's hate come zolting through me like electricity, and I'd have to change the energy in the room, and it maybe take me 10 minutes, and then I would, like, sigh relief. So I know what it was to feel that, but part of it is, you know, you're young and learning to regulate it a little bit. So, you know, see, if you're scaring people away, it could be a commitment phobia, because if you keep doing the same things and people are running, maybe you want them to run. So if you don't want people to run, say, you know, step back and maybe tell people, look, I tend to be too much. Sometimes I come on too strong. So if I make you uncomfortable, don't run. Just tell me. I'll back off, you know, kind of. You know, tell the person whenever we have something that's, you know, we're not perfect, any of us. So if we talk about it, people don't get so scared if they realize that you're working on that issue. Well, good luck to you, David. Please let us know when you find your soulmate. And boy, we like these 23-year-old men thinking about soulmates. That's wonderful. It's the best news I've. It's the best news I've heard all day. Now, Nicole, I thank you for sharing the blockage. That was really great, Nicole. She's like such a student of love now. I mean, she amazes me. And, Nicole, did you screen any other callers? Because I want to make sure people get to really hear Richard and, you know.
Ma'am, I did. We are going to shoot back out to New York now. We're going to be speaking to Amy now. And actually, she just started reading Grant Me a Higher Love, Cindy. And she met somebody shortly thereafter, and basically what she would like is to know a little bit maybe about the identification of a soulmate, and you know, she wants to know if this is the right one, you know, and she just started reading the book, so she hasn't gotten that far into it yet, you know. She wants to know, you know, kind of some telltale signs and, you know, how to spot red flags and things of that sort. So we're going to shoot over to Amy in Bayport.
Hi, Amy.
Hi, Hi, Cindy. How are you?
Good. Well, I'm glad you're reading the book, and I would recommend Richard's book also, Seeking Soulmates and Spirit Guides in Past Lives. And it's funny, when people pick up either Richard's book or my book, they tend to tell me, and I'm sure Richard can share this too, that, oh, my God, after I started reading this book, I met somebody. And I always like to tell people we have more than one soulmate. We have about 30 of them on the planet, romantic ones. We've had that many lifetimes. And, you know, we're 45% of the world population is healed enough to be offered a soulmate love. The rest are not healed. They're not even going to be given a soulmate. But out of that 45%, in America, less than 2% are maintaining soulmates. Mm-hmm. That means they're not healing issues. They're not saying what they mean without being mean about it. They're not healing their addictions. They're not, you know, taking responsibility for their behavior. How are you feeling very drawn to this person? Do you feel like a recognition factor, as if, you know, there's something about him you've known already?
Yeah, I've known little things about him, and then I finally met him, and there's a great deal of comfort and security around him, wanting to spend time with him and get to know him even more.
Good. And do you feel like drawn to him with your heart? You knew you could feel like you could love him with your heart. Do you starting to feel any?
I've just gotten out of another relationship that's pretty much scarred me, and that's the other reason why I think I'm not letting my guard down and want to know, should I and shouldn't I and all of that.
Well, basically, it's we finally have no choice but to stick 2 feet in a relationship and see what's there. Open our heart. If, you know, if your radar is, you know, feeling trusting of this person, and, you know, we'll never know unless we sort of jump in and stick our 2 feet in it. Richard, do you have anything you would tell her about her impending new romance here?
Okay, so basically she's talking about fear, okay?
Exactly.
And when you've been hurt, you're obviously going to be a little gun-shy, you know, and you're going to, I mean, I think you're very brave to move on to another relationship. I always feel badly for people who have been betrayed in their relationship and then just give up, and they don't even attempt to get into another relationship for a long, long time. But so I congratulate you that you have, you know, taken that risk and are entertaining the idea of another relationship. So what I would suggest you do, rather than guess about whether this person is trustworthy, you talk about these fears out loud. Rather than speculate, just say, listen, you know, I've had this experience with this other guy, and, you know, certain indications, you know, showed me that, you know, he wasn't trustworthy, and there's something about something you said or did that, you know, sounds that alarm for me, and I'm not sure how much of it is me and how much of it is you. So maybe you can, you know, we can talk together about, you know, about what all this means, because, you know, I know I might be kind of jumping the gun and being fearful unnecessarily, but at the same time, you know, is there something about what you said or did that I need to worry about? So you can examine those fears out loud, and if he's the kind of guy you want to be with, he won't get defensive. He'll say, oh, of course, I understand. Of course, that's, you know, you need to know this. I want you to trust me. And he'll be very patient and understanding, and he'll explain to you exactly why he said or did, you know, whatever it was. Whereas if he gets defensive and says, what do you mean? What do you have to be that way for? You know, and he gets defensive, then, you know, that's a red flag.
Right.
But, and
so there's a way. There's a way to get to the bottom of these fears in a very healthy way using your communication skills.
And I also need to tell people there are things called transitional soulmates. Sometimes they're brought at a moment to help us sometimes break away from a bad relationship. And it may not have to last forever. Not all soulmate relationships have to last forever. You know, I had a relationship, a soulmate relationship, that lasted 5 years. It was perfect for the 5 years. But at the end of it, you know, I was moving in a different direction, as was he. But I would not ever say, oh, it ended so it failed. And no, it changed me profoundly. It was when I got out of my marriage. I really, you know, had learned some bad dysfunctional behaviors in a toxic marriage, and this relationship was a man that I never spoke harsh to him, nor he to me, and taught me how to love without pain, and and to communicate, and there were many lessons that I needed to learn. So sometimes a relationship might not be the forever one, but that doesn't mean, you know, it's not good. And if you don't stick 2 feet in and see what's there, you're never going to know. And I think, Amy, your radar is pretty good now. And, you know, we talk about those things. You know, sometimes it's the prince that becomes the beast. You know, just try to keep your eyes open. You know, if he's bringing you into his inner circle, are you meeting some of his friends and family yet?
Not yet.
Okay, that's an important step because it also helps us to see, you know, who their friends are. You know, if you hate every one of his friends, you think they're all idiots, I don't think that portends well for him. So sometimes just meeting friends, how he treats his family, getting in his inner circle will make you feel more comfortable. But if you're reading Grant Me a Higher Love, I don't think that the universe is going to bring you a toxic love at the moment. I think it may be something you need to, you know, just open your heart and see there are good people out there, even if he's not the one to last forever, that there are good men out there.
And transitional soulmates can last that long,
Can last 5 years. Relationships tend to work in 5-year cycles. You know, I'm older. I'm already, you know, 57. So for me to have a transitional relationship, 52, I don't want to have kids, you know, anymore. I mean, I have a daughter. I mean, I don't have a biological clock ticking. You know, usually when you're younger, God doesn't bring a transition mate for 5 years when you're, you know, 35 and you want a baby. That would make sense, you know. So try to look at it as this may not be forever, but is it good today? Do you feel good about it today?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Okay, so that's a big step. And, you know, email me. You have my email, or, you know, if you can get it from my website, grantmeahigherlove.com, a contact. And just let me know how it's going, and I'll try to guide you a little bit more that way as you get to know him. How long have you known him now?
I actually know his family longer than I've known him, and just got to meet him not too long ago, a couple weeks ago.
Okay, but that's good. You know his family. It's always really good when, you know, sometimes we know somebody, you know he's a good family, or you're comfortable with that. So it looks really promising in these cards here, so I wouldn't I would be very optimistic.
Okay, thank you.
Thanks for calling, Amy, and keep reading. And don't forget to read Richard's book. Now, we only have about 3 minutes left.
I just want to mention, because obviously we could be talking another 2 hours about these issues regarding soulmates and spirit guides and past lives. I would like to just invite people to keep in touch with me, either with my author website, which is seekingsoul.com, or I'm also on Facebook, and you know, I have a zillion friends. And
let's spell your name, Richard, because I know some people can see it. But if they're not going to the website, if they're only listening on the phone,
okay.
It's Richard C. and it's Scheinberg.
Scheinberg. It's S C H E I N B E R G. Richard Scheinberg. And so I have actually two Facebook pages. One is a personal page. One is a author page. And I also have actually a group named after the book as well, Seeking Soulmates, Spirit Guides, and Past Lives. So, you know, I'd invite you, in the few minutes we have left, I'd invite your listeners to keep in touch with me, and I will be on the radio again. I've been on TV a couple of times. I've been all around Long Island, and I would like to hear from your listeners if they have any concerns or questions, because, you know, there's much more that needs to be addressed. And it's been a real pleasure.
And Richard, I'd like to invite you back to do a little bit about the past life and spirit guides. We didn't even get there.
We didn't even touch on that, right?
You know what I'm saying? And we had so many calls, I can't even tell you, we didn't even get to them. So obviously our listeners would love to hear from you again. So maybe, you know, sometime in December or January you could join us again.
Sure, that sounds good.
Okay, Nicole, thank you so much. Do you have a shout-out, Nicole?
You are most welcome, guys. Actually, I'm just going to shout-out to my little friend who is working very, very diligently right now, and that's about it.
And Richard, anything you would like to add for our listeners?
It really does come down to, you know, love and fear. Really, you can approach life in a very positive way. Love kind of expands you, keeps you involved, keeps you connected. You know, and fear keeps you alone and depressed. And, you know, and if you have love in your heart and you approach life from a place of love, it's a chemical high. You know, you don't need pills. You don't need, you know, alcohol. If you live from a positive place, take your chances. You know, you might get knocked down sometimes, but you can just brush yourself off and you keep moving. You keep moving. It's beautiful. It's wonderful. So I would just encourage people to not let the media bring you down. Not let people around you bring you down. You know, be your own beacon of light.
And what I found is we just, I just went to my emails and we got, our show is marked a favorite by many people, so thank you for marking our show a favorite. And everyone have a great week, and thanks so much, Richard, for joining us, and thank you, Nicole.
And thank you very much.
Good night, guys.
Pleasure.
Good night.
Good night.